On the next part of our morning show, we're going to talk about an excellent thing for the community, Dementia Live, which will be presented coming up in the coming days, August 29th. And joining us is Pam Kohlberg, who has been on the program many times. Pam, talking about a subject like dementia. Not always easy to do, but it's important, isn't it?
Right. Hey, Phil. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I know a lot of people fear that word. You know, it's kind of the big D word. People fear it more than, you know, cancer or something. But it's really important that people understand that there is quality of life and there are things that you can learn to how to approach somebody. And that will make a difference in how you feel and how they feel. And I don't think people always get that it's not something you just shun. It's something that you actually can embrace and kind of make somebody's life better.
Dementia is something that, I mean, it kind of runs the gamut. There are lots of different types and forms of dementia, aren't there?
Right. So we used to think there's about 10 of them. Actually, there's over 100 now. And it's just different parts of the brain that are affected. So we know Alzheimer's, that's 70% of cases. That's people who have word problems and it's a certain part of the brain. But there's also Lewy body and frontal temporal and people can have it from vascular, you know, and then there's risk factors like trauma can affect people or concussions. And so when your brain gets sort of impacted, then you can't think as well. You can't do the things that you used to do. Memory isn't always an issue. Everybody always thinks that dementia has to do with memory, but there's a certain kind of dementias like frontal temporal where you might have trouble doing things, but you're not going to... you know, you can still have good memories. So, you know, it's more like a loss of function. People can't do what they used to do. And so we need to kind of talk to them differently, look at them differently. So I'm just saying that if we can learn how to approach people, no matter what their kinds of dementia is really, it's not a medical term, but it's a medical condition. So it's any brain disease that affects different parts of the brain. So people are very different. They can be younger. We're getting more early onset dementia. They can be older. But there's many kinds, and how people act is very different. So it's important to realize that how you talk to someone or how you approach them makes a difference in how they can kind of handle life. And it's just sadly becoming more common. You know, statistics are it's going to double in the next couple of years. You know, there's somebody every 3 seconds that develops some kind of dementia. But it doesn't mean that we have to cut people off. It doesn't mean that people automatically go to the nursing home. Many people... 70% of people with dementia are living in their own home.
Why do you think there's been the uptick in it in recent years, Pam?
Well, they're finding that more people, because of lifestyle factors, you know, strokes or smoking or high blood pressure or high blood sugar, all these things kind of impact the brain, right? The heart feeds the brain. And so there's just more lifestyle things that are affecting it. Because if you have it in your family, there's only a 30% chance you can get it. Like many diseases, you can kind of have the predisposition, but it gets set off. So it's just kind of, I hate to say this, but it's a little bit of a healthy lifestyle. We just have a lot more injury, and we're just learning and understanding what brain health is.
You have an opportunity for the community coming up. What can you tell me about Dementia Live?
Well, it's a great experience because you're going to really get a sense of what it's like to have dementia. We do this kind of simulation, and I know it sounds scary to some people, but it really kind of offers insight. We put on some equipment, and we kind of go through an experience, but then you get to talk about it, and say, you know, what is this going on and what can I do about it and how do I, you know, if I'm afraid that I have it, you know, like memory issues, what can I do, you know, to take care of it? And it kind of just is an eye-opener. I think a lot of people we're all tired of Zoom and PowerPoints and, you know, those are things that you can learn about in your brain. But you also want to experience things to say, aha, you know, this is what it is. But hey, this is what I can do about it.
You have a couple of opportunities to do that and get involved. Tuesday, August 29th, what times will you be there?
Well, we're going to be there at Schmidt Woodland Hills. They're hosting it for us to give us a space. It's at 10 o'clock and 11:15. And then you register through the ADRC of Richland County. So that's 608-647-4616. to register. And then if there's enough people signed up, maybe we'll do some afternoon sessions as well. But I also want folks to know that if you have a bunch of family members that want to do it just themselves, we can also do it at the ADRC. So you can have your own personal family session with it anytime you want at the ADRC, which is the 647-4616 number. But these sessions are great because there'll be a lot of different people there to have a discussion. And so we just want to know that you're coming, but then there's people to talk about it. And I think there's more hope than people know. I think a lot of people are scared of the diagnosis or afraid how their loved one changes. But if you learn how to approach people, you can really learn how to be in the moment and really connect with them in a different way. And that's what my message is there's still life after the diagnosis. There's still a way to connect people. But you have to understand what they're going through and that they're different but still the same person. But maybe they don't respond same or they say strange things. And then, Ron, Phil, we're also offering it to businesses so businesses can train their staff how to respond. Let's say you're in a bank and somebody doesn't understand what you want or they don't remember that they've been there before. They might get really upset and start yelling or swearing, but there's a way you can interact with them. And we've trained some local banks here. There's a way you can interact that makes a more of a positive experience for them and for you. We've also trained the local sheriff's department. We've trained the police. There's a lot of people because if everybody understands this, then we can have a dementia-friendly village, a community where people can live at home. They don't have to necessarily go to a nursing home until the last year of the disease. So if we can get everybody dementia-friendly, that means all our friends and neighbors who might be suffering from one of the many different diseases called dementia, they can still live in their own home. So that's the hope that I'm hoping people will get, is that by learning this at a kind of deeper level to really experience it, then you're going to be able to support your friends and neighbors and family members and learn how to interact with people better, whether you're visiting them in their nursing home or whether you're visiting them in a coffee shop. There's a way to interact that we're going to teach that really makes people still be able to have a good quality of life.
On Tuesday, August 29th, Pam, you're going to simulate then what it's like to have dementia, or how do you do that?
Right. Well, there's a certain kind of equipment you put on, and we have you go through an experience. I don't want to give too much away. I'm thinking that I'm showing memories issues because I keep calling you Ron. Anyway, we all have memory issues, right? I don't think people should fear it. I think that as we get older, we expect people to forget names, right? Or that kind of thing. So I think some of it is also learning that some memory issues are just part of aging. But when do you know when somebody maybe should go to the geriatric assessment clinic or get a diagnosis that might help them get into some programs, because the ADRC offers a lot of programs. There's a lot of programs for caregivers, you know, money, respite, because caregivers are the ones that really suffer. Like somebody who has a disease, you know, will get through it and they'll find a way to work with it. But the caregivers, the family members that are seeing them change, you know, are the ones that are going to get burnt out and have a harder time. And it is not a one-person job. If people come with any come away with any message here, it's also that we really need to support those families that are caregivers, because that person now is going to struggle because, you know, they're not understanding the effects of this disease. I actually meet with families one-to-one and talk about the disease and its effects and how you can kind of get through it. But we also need our friends and neighbors to understand, I need a break. You know, as a caregiver, I need to be able to sometimes just go and have a massage or do something that's myself, that isn't just always taking care of people 24/7. I think people who are parents realize this, that you need a break sometimes. And, you know, you also need to learn how to deal with the kind of the guilt that comes up. And there's a lot of emotion that goes into being a caregiver, any caregiver, but especially people with dementia. And that's why we have a support group that meets fourth Tuesdays over at the senior center, the community center there. We have support groups. We have funds available. We have all kinds of support. And then again, I can meet with people one-on-one and say, you know, this is what the medical condition makes happen, but really take care of yourself. And we want to think about how we can have successful visits visiting with family? How can we connect with them in a different way that's not relying on memory and the past? How can we kind of be more in the moment to relate to them? And so I think anybody would benefit from learning this, because I will tell you, Phil, that the statistics are, you know, it's 1 in 3 people over 85 and 1 in 9 people over 65 may have some kind of disease. And now we're also hearing people younger and younger. So we're all interacting with people that have one of these forms of diseases. So let's learn how to not only interact with them, but how to support that family. We really not need to stop isolating people who are caregivers, who are taking care of it. So, it's a one-hour experience. It goes rather quickly. It makes for really interesting discussion. It's a good conversation starter. But it gets people thinking. And I really am hopeful that, like, Richland County is going to become dementia-friendly. And I do offer it in other counties. I work in Crawford as well. But if people can go through this experience and have this discussion, then all of us can become a dementia-friendly community.
I know, speaking from personal experience, because my mother went through the disease, ADRC was very helpful, because I think at first it really scared me. And I think it does. You kind of feel maybe you're all alone, or where do I go, or who do I talk to? And you have lots of resources there that can help people, don't you?
Well, yeah, because it's unnerving when you thought you knew somebody I work with, you know, men who are retiring at 50 because they have some form of dementia and they're still raising kids at home or whatever. It's very unnerving to a family member. You think somebody's predictable. You think they remember certain things. And then they act different, or maybe they see things you don't see, or maybe they get a little paranoid. Well, anybody whose mind is messed with or, you know, has a disease is going to act differently. And it's kind of hard for people who are looking forward to retirement or whatever, and suddenly this person is changing. How do I still connect to them? You know, they're suddenly anxious when they weren't anxious before. We talk about how to comfort people in the disease, and it's hard to know, you know, what do I need to be concerned about if they're talking about things that aren't there and I'm trying to orient them to reality? Why isn't that working? Why does that make them more upset? You know, so there's a lot of tips and tricks to learn, and all the staff at the ADRC are dementia capable, we call it. They're trained to sort of recognize and deal with it, and we're going to train people at the meal site. We're going to have more events like this, because the more we can get this message out, that it's scary, but there's a way to deal with it that can make you more comfortable, you know, if you can really acknowledge the emotional toll that it takes on caregivers. And like you said, the emotions, the being scared, the, like, confused, disoriented. I mean, there's a whole host of emotions that come up. Well, that's something you can get a handle on. That's something you can figure out how to deal with. And so we want people to be able to go through this experience. So what was it like for you being kind of a family member of somebody with dementia?
It was tough. And I think one of the first things I learned, Pam, was the fact that I think compassion is the word, because at first, you know, if your loved one is seeing something that isn't there, you're kind of like maybe argumentative, like saying, well, what are you talking about? There's nothing there,
right?
You know. Instead of learning to kind of go with it and kind of be in compassion and things like that. But in my mother's case, it was not a memory issue at all. You know, we'd be working on the bills and she'd say, did you pay the electric bill? Oh, yeah, I got to do that. And then she'd say, who's that sitting over there in that chair? You know, and there wouldn't be anybody there. And so learning to deal with that was probably the big thing. But I think compassion was the number one thing I had to learn.
Right, yes, because if you react oddly to that person or you become... What happens with dementia, particularly for the kinds where your mind's playing tricks on itself, right? It's kind of reasonable that you're a little more paranoid, you're a little more hyped up. And so what people do is they look at your body and your body language and your facial expressions and your tone of voice, and they become more sensitive to that. So if you act shocked or reactive, then they're going to become reactive back. And they always say you're never going to win an argument with somebody who has dementia, because we believe our minds. If our mind says, you know, there's somebody standing in the corner, whether that's a hallucination or maybe it's a delusion. You're misinterpreting the lighting, and so you think somebody's over there. It's not always hallucinations. There's a lot with misperception, because our brains are incredibly complex. And so when they start to not react well, then they're going to make us see things that other people don't see. So, yeah, how you respond in that moment is going to affect how that person then reacts to you and whether they're going to go along with things you need them to do. Or, but it brings up a lot of feeling, and I think people have to realize you can learn to deal with that. You know, it isn't, that you just go, oh, I can't see this person like this, so I'm not going to visit them. Well, the thing with people with the diseases that make up dementia, the most important thing is that they stay physically active, socially active, engage in the community, because as we all learned during the pandemic, that's what people need, but particularly people who are kind of struggling. So, I get a lot of people who are grieving, maybe before their person is gone. There's a lot of people who get angry because they're, you know, it's not what they expected would be their future with this person. And that's all understandable, but know that this other person is also trying to deal with a mind that's changing. And there's books written by people with dementia. There's some interesting resources we have in terms of that person with dementia. Like when people are early stage, they can still handle talking about this disease. And, I sit down with a lot of people who say, yeah, I don't get why my mind suddenly switched like that. One moment I'm okay, the next minute I'm not. Then I'm, not even aware of what's happening. Well, it's a medical condition that people can learn about. And, when they have these episodes, if family members, can comfort them and deal with anxiety that comes up with it, then they can go back, these episodes come and go. And I think that makes the disease hard, because one minute they seem fine and you think they don't have anything wrong with them. And another minute they're kind of in this lost dream where they're saying odd things. And I think once you really think about the brain, like we're really talking a lot more about brain health, then you realize like, oh, it's a machine that's not working and I have to now accommodate to that. So there's going to be a lot more, I think, in the future of kids learning about brain health, all of us learning more about this 8-pound thing we're carrying around on our head. We it really directs a lot of what we do. And when it misfires, we need to learn how to adapt to that. So, I'm hoping people will come out and have this discussion. It's only 1 hour long.
On August 29th.
So, yeah, it's only 1 hour long. Starts a discussion, and then, people can always come to the ADRC for more information, a lot of resources.
Sounds good, Pam. Always good stuff. We appreciate it. Come back, and we'll have a longer conversation about it sometime. But again, we just wanted to get the word out about that upcoming event and also your goal of trying to make Richland Center dementia-friendly. That's kind of your goal, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, yes, it is, because there's a lot of people that really want to help out, and I think this is a start. We got to increase awareness of how many of our friends and neighbors might be suffering from this disease, and then reduce that stigma that, it's just a disease and we can learn how to adapt to it. And yeah, I'm hoping businesses will call to do this. I really appreciate Schmidt Woodland Hills being able to host us. Other people are welcome to invite us over to do a training. And all they need to do is call that the ADRC of Richland Center, which is 608-647-4616. Hey, Phil, before we go, I do want to say, this job that I do, the dementia care specialist, is in every county. So every ADRC, which is unique to Wisconsin, our aging and disability resource centers, there's one in every county, and every ADRC now has a dementia care specialist. So it's me in Richland County or Crawford County, but there's one of me in every county. So if you live somewhere else in a different county, talk to your ADRC, and they do a similar program as well.
We're fortunate to have you. Pam, thanks so much for joining us.
Okay, well, you take care. We'll talk to you later.
That is Pam Kohlberg, Dementia Care Specialist, joining us on today's morning show.